Let's pray together. Father, we recognize the fact that life only comes through your Spirit, and yet we are often surprised, amazed, frustrated by the fact that our own efforts to produce life just fail time after time. Lord, we confess we'd rather do things the old-fashioned way and roll up our sleeves and try harder rather than venturing into the life of freedom and power in the Spirit. So Lord, as the choir sang this morning, we pray that the Spirit would indeed live in us, that we would give up our fruitless attempts to find life anywhere else. Lord, we pray that the Spirit would move in us, that you would give us the power to live life in a way that would surprise us, that would make our lives a blessing to those that we live with and those that we work with, those that we may have a random encounter with in a store or somewhere else. And yet you've made that a divine appointment that we might be a blessing in their lives. Father, this morning, as we turn our focus to being devoted to the Word, we pray that your Spirit would take your Word off the printed page and turn it into your living Word, that it would penetrate our hearts, that we would leave here not with just some more knowledge about the Bible, but that your Word would allow us to see you more clearly than before, that we would know your love more deeply than before, and that we would leave here changed by your Word in a way that we might go out and be a blessing to others. Father, thank you for gathering us together as a church family. Thank you that we can be together. Thank you that your Spirit is here in our midst. And Lord, we thank you for this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. This morning, we're going to be continuing, and John's going to be continuing his our series on the PBC family values. And this week, we're going to be looking at devotion to the Word. And our scripture to the, our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Timothy 4. And it's words from Paul, these letters that Paul was writing at near the end of his life to encourage a young pastor in Ephesus about continuing in his ministry in the Word. So this comes from 1 Timothy 4 from the Message. You've been raised on the message of faith and have followed sound teaching. Now pass on this counsel to the followers of Jesus there, and you'll be a good servant of Jesus. Stay clear of silly stories that get dressed up as religion. Exercise daily in God. No spiritual flabbiness, please. Workouts in the gymnasium are useful, but a disciplined life in God is far more so, making you fit both today and forever. You can count on this. Take it to heart. This is why we've thrown ourselves into this venture so totally. We're banking on the living God, Savior of all men and women, especially believers. Get the word out. Teach all these things. And don't let anyone put you down because you're young. Teach believers with your life by word, by demeanor, by love, by faith, by integrity. Stay at your post reading scripture, giving counsel and teaching.
Well, there's a great deal of importance for church leaders to communicate the driving mission and critical values of the church to the church family regularly so that everyone can contribute with understanding and knowledge. In other words, we can all be on the same team, pulling in the same direction. Who are we as a church? What's our vision? What is our priorities? How do we function? And this is why we've devoted 4 weeks to talk about key family values at Peninsula Bible Church, what we're calling our Heartbeat Series. The staff and elders have spent a considerable amount of time talking about these things over the course of the last few months. Since we don't operate with a senior pastor or one charismatic leader, this has not been an easy or a quick process. So what we're sharing in these 4 weeks is the culmination of much discussion. There's probably many things that we are not talking about, that you would love to talk about. But the four that we are addressing in this four-week series are the ones that have bubbled to the top. The phrase that we're using to describe PBC's main vision is knowing Jesus and making him known. And so, as the phrase implies, our vision is twofold. First, we want people to know Jesus. This does not mean that we want people to simply know about Jesus or become church members. Our desire is that folks who come here are on a journey to know Jesus deeply, personally, and relationally. Our vision is to be touched profoundly by the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, to partake of God's unfathomable riches in Christ, to have an experience of God's grace, his love, and hope in Jesus. Our vision is to grow into Christ and become mature and complete in him. Second, our vision is making him known. Our desire is for people to be so filled with the wonder and the love of Christ that knowing him naturally spills out of our lives to make him known in the world around us, both locally and globally, by living an incarnational life, a Jesus in our flesh life. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and now that Word dwells in us through the Spirit. And through that life, through our life, we make Jesus known to the world around us and become a living presence of Jesus himself. We become active participants in God's work of calling out a people for his name's sake by being a blessing in the world. Now, the values that we're covering in these 4 weeks, you see listed here on the screen: life in the Spirit through grace, devotion to the Word, participation in God's work, and discipleship through relationships. We began last week with life in the Spirit, and this week we will focus on the topic of devotion to the Word. Now, in his book, Streams of Living Water, Richard Foster surveys the six streams of Christian tradition. And you see those listed there behind me. The contemplative tradition, a prayer-filled life; the holiness tradition, the virtuous life; the charismatic tradition, the spirit-empowered life; the social justice tradition, the compassionate life; the incarnational tradition, the sacramental life; and the evangelical tradition, the Word-centered life. Now, clearly, if you've been at Peninsula Bible Church for any period of time, you know that our heritage is the evangelical tradition. We do seek to grow, and we should grow, in aspects of the other traditions. For example, next week is Freedom Sunday, which would naturally fall under the social justice tradition. And we've also tried to incorporate contemplative practices of prayer within our service and in our smaller groups. But primarily, we are a Word-centered church. The Scriptures undergird everything that we do, starting on Sunday mornings and extending to growth groups, discipleship groups, men's and women's studies, interns, Greek and Hebrew reading groups. In most settings, if you think about it, we are always studying a book of the Bible, some passage of Scripture. We have even printed out our Sunday messages over the years, and they are read and used around the world. Devotion to the Word is the most visible value and priority at PBC. Bible is our middle name. I borrowed that from Bob. In the evangelical tradition, writes Richard Foster, Scripture has primacy over other writings, primacy over church tradition, primacy over individual religious experience, primacy over individual conscience, primacy over individual revelations, dreams, and visions, primacy over culture. As the Protestant reformers put it, sola scriptura, the scripture alone. Now, why is this a key value at PBC? Why are the scriptures so important to the life of the church? Well, the text that we want to consider for a moment this morning is 2 Timothy chapter 3. And maybe I can encourage you to open up your Bible or the pew Bible that's in front of you, or at least get it on your phone to have this text in front of you, since we are talking about devotion to the Word. So let me read the text. Look at you, young boys are getting your Bibles out. I love it. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Now, these words are some of the last written by the Apostle Paul. They're written to his young pastor friend and companion Timothy to encourage him with the importance of God's word, which he learned from his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. God's words are sacred writings. And the word scripture also means writings. What is so special about these writings? Well, Paul tells us that these words are the breathed out words of God. God used human agents with their individual personalities to write them down. God did not dictate the words, but the words originated with God through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And Paul says that all scriptures is breathed out from God, not just part of it. What this means is that God speaks. God spoke the creation into existence. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed his spirit into man, and man became a living being. God continues to speak of his glory and majesty through creation, as David wrote in Psalm 19, our call to worship. God spoke to Moses face to face, and some of those words we have recorded for us in the first five books of the Bible. He spoke to the prophets, to his people Israel. And then the writer of Hebrews tells us that God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. Jesus is the living word of God, God's best and his last word to mankind. Paul also says, going back to a phrase before the God-breathed phrase, that these sacred writings are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. See, God's word reveals the truth about Jesus, about the cross, about the resurrection, and capable of evoking deep desire and hunger that brings people to saving faith. That is the nature of the scriptures. Trevor Hudson, a wonderful pastor in South Africa, tells a story about the head of the Bible Society in Zimbabwe. And one day, this man was on the streets of Harare handing out tracts containing the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And he came up to a young 19-year-old man, and he wanted to give him one of the tracts, the Gospels. And the young man said, "No, I'm not interested. If I take one, I'll just use the paper to make cigarettes." And the head of the Bible Study Society said, "No, go ahead, take one." And so the young man took the tract. 9 months later, the head of the Bible Study meets this young man at a Bible rally. And he was so surprised, and he said to this young man, "What happened? I thought you were just going to use this tract to make cigarettes." And the young man replied, "Well, I smoked my way through Matthew. I smoked my way through Mark. I smoked my way through Luke. But when I came to John 3:16, I stopped smoking." In other words, there was something so powerful about those words, "God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And those words changed this young man's life. The word of God seized him and awakened the desire to be connected and to know the God who loved him so much. Maybe that happened to you. You just picked up the Gospels and you began to read, and something seized your heart. We see an example of this in the book of Acts, when an Ethiopian eunuch is traveling on a Gaza road, and he's reading Isaiah 53, not understanding what he's reading, and then Philip comes up to him, and the eunuch asks him, "Who's this talking about?" And Philip explains the good news to him, and this eunuch comes to Christ. Many of you have heard the story of a tormented Augustine who was sitting in a Milan garden one day and heard a child's voice, "Take it and read it, take it and read it." And Augustine picked up a Bible and turned to Romans chapter 13. And he was convicted, and he turned to the Lord and became converted. That's the power of God's word. Here's our doctrinal statement concerning the Bible. The original writings of both Old and New Testaments were inspired by God by means of the Holy Spirit, who chose the words employed. These writings were without error and are of supreme and final authority in the lives of believers in any age. The Bible says everything God intended to say to mankind regarding redemption. See, there are some who deny the supernatural inspiration of the Bible, those who think the Bible is fallible, others who think that experience or traditions are as authoritative as the Bible. But we hold the Bible to be an ultimate authority, and we sit under the Word. Now, Paul goes on to detail the specific role of the Scriptures. He says they're profitable. In other words, there's great benefit in reading and knowing the Bible. What are the benefits? Well, first, Paul says the Scriptures are profitable for teaching. God's word is not only inspiration, but it's revelation. In other words, God's word discloses things that would not be known otherwise. For example, we know God's plan and history of redemption, who Jesus is, the meaning of the cross, the hope of life after death, the nature of sin, the reality of judgment, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, how the church is to function, what marriage is all about. These truths would not be known through natural means, through our human understanding. God did not reveal everything there is to know. There are many things we really wish he would have told us, but he's told us everything that we need to know. Second, the scriptures have the power to reprove, and the idea here is to bring to conviction. Now, how many of you have read a passage of scripture or heard a sermon and suddenly you were convicted that what you were doing was wrong? Maybe you didn't even realize the error, but when you heard the scriptures, you decided to repent and change directions. John Stott wrote, "You must allow the Word of God to confront us, to disturb our security, to undermine our complacency, and to overthrow our patterns of thought and behavior." And that's what the scripture does. It calls us to account at times, and that's what it's intended to do. Third, God's word corrects or restores. And this is the positive aspect of conviction. We turn when we hear the scriptures, and then the scripture guides us into the right paths and helps us to walk in ways that lead to life and freedom and joy. We learn how to deal with anger or find strength in difficult trials. When we walk in ways that seem natural to us, our path often leads to enslavement and limitations and death. But the Bible keeps our path straight, headed in the ways of the Lord, not as a legal trying to be perfect idea, but just leading us in the right ways. Finally, God's word is profitable for training in righteousness. The Bible has the power and the ability to shape us and transform us into the image of Christ, allowing us to put off the flesh and walk in the Spirit. It's the scriptures that change the way we think and the way we behave. And the end result is so that we become complete, whole people equipped for every good work. See, Paul might have an order in mind. Teaching of God's truth leads to conviction. Conviction leads to correction. And then correction leads to becoming whole, sound, healthy people as God intended. And there's no other writings that have the potential to do this. Science books won't do it. History books won't do it. But this is what the Bible does. And that's why the benefits of Scripture are more valuable than wealth, possessions, or power. The Word shapes and forms our minds, our hearts, and our actions. Richard Foster writes, "We read the Bible to be fed, we read it to be converted, to be strengthened, to be taught, to be rebuked, to be counseled, to be comforted. As we sit under the Bible for sustained periods, we will be formed by the experience." So this is why the Bible has such a central role here at Peninsula Bible Church, and why our primary task, the main thing, as pastors and leaders and teachers, is to teach the Word. It's not only our heritage, what has been handed down to us. It's not what we've always done. It's because we're convinced that it's the scriptures that have the power to bring people to Christ, change lives, and do the work of transformation. No program or No catchy slogans can have this kind of effect. Now, all that being said, we need to be aware of a couple potential dangers. First, we need to guard against arrogant attitudes. We can think, since we study the scriptures, then we're better than other traditions or other churches. We study the Bible in detail, verse by verse. And that would be a grave mistake. There is much we can learn from other traditions. We can learn, for example, from the rich words of traditional liturgy, other styles of music and worship. We can learn from those who have a rich tradition of prayer practices or hearing the scriptures in different ways. We do believe in the authority and power of the Bible, but we remain humble and open to other traditions and the ways that they encounter scriptures and God. And second, we need to guard against the scriptures becoming an academic exercise, hearing and learning the Bible for information only, becoming a mind-oriented church. See, many people over the years have come to PBC because we teach the scriptures. But then sometimes we hear the complaint that we teach too detailed, and people don't hang around here. So oftentimes what brings people to PBC leads other people's away. We must always find the balance between being relevant to the culture and at the same time stay true to the scriptures. We need both exposition and application. But here's where I want to say a word about illumination. We always have to be reminded that it's not the words alone that have power, but it's the illuminating power of the Holy Spirit for those words to penetrate deeply into our minds and our hearts. And this is what we believe can happen through expository preaching and careful teaching of the words. The power is not in the words, we say, or even the preacher, even though some preachers or teachers are more gifted than others. But the power comes through the word of the Holy Spirit, who takes the words of the Bible as they are explained, so they become God's personal words to us. It's not an uncommon experience for someone to come up to me after a message and say, "What you said has changed my life." And I go, "What did I say?" And they tell me. And I think to myself, "I never said that." See, that's the work of the Holy Spirit, doing something at the same time the scriptures are being explained. And that's why we do this, to be illuminated by the Holy Spirit to God's word and God's presence. Evangelicals are often accused of Bible-olatry, becoming Bible worshipers, but we don't worship the words. We worship the person who stands behind the words. And as we hear the scriptures taught, we look and listen through the word to the author of life, and we worship him. And that is the goal of Bible teaching. I'm exhorting the leadership of the church by saying this: to lead to transformation and worship of God. The goal is to hear God's voice and obey. And the church at large needs teachers who have this goal in mind and believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish this goal. What keeps us from dry academic Bible study is this attitude for all of us, teachers and hearers, to encounter God and to be changed by the Holy Spirit. Now let me return to the wording of our value this morning. And I want you to think about this word devotion. Because as I said, it was chosen after months of discussion. Devotion implies faithfulness. constancy, commitment, dedication. It even implies fondness and affection. For example, we say, I'm devoted to my wife. We are to be devoted to the word corporately and personally. Corporately. Paul exhorts Timothy, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Why? Well, because people will want to just have their ears tickled. They will want only to hear words that scratch the itch. Teachers can fall into the practice of only talking about the things that are easy to digest and make people feel good. I think we see this more and more in churches today. Churches are changing their understanding of the scriptures to adapt to the culture. Churches want to attract numbers, so they employ ways of doing just that. In our culture, more and more people are becoming Bible illiterate. And so pastors offer a liquid diet instead of a full meal. The church has to be relevant to the culture, has to understand the culture, where people are living, the pressures they're facing, but not dictated by the culture. So at PBC, we mostly teach and preach whole books of the Bible. Sometimes we teach a topical series like we're doing right now, but mostly we teach through long texts. Why? Because we seek to teach the whole counsel of God, not just the parts that are pleasant. We don't skip over the difficult passages. I wish we could at times, but we don't. Typically, we set the preaching schedule far in advance. We study far in advance. We seek to alternate between Old Testament and New Testament. We think about what's good for the body to study. And as Paul indicates to Timothy, this takes patience and effort. Patiently teaching, just patiently teaching, over and over and over again, sometimes saying the same things over and over and over again. But that's the way the Word of God works. And then there's personal devotion. Hopefully over the course of our life in Jesus, we fall in love with the Word. And we desire the Word more than other things. We don't hear the Word of God just on Sunday. We don't read through the Bible once, but we read it over and over. We saturate our minds with the thoughts of God. We find nourishment for our soul, strength for our body, comfort for our hearts. We don't just read a verse for the day or speed read through a passage before rushing out the door, but soak in a text. We chew on the words, you know. All day long, we meditate on the words. We go for walks just thinking about the scriptures that we had just read. Now, this goes against our culture because there's so many things competing for our attention, especially the little device you're holding in your hand. But we can't hear God's voice over the louder voices screaming into our ear and distracting our thoughts. Can we turn off the television? Can we turn off the phone to give sole attention to the Word of God? Maxine Hancock, who was a professor at Regent College, tells a story about her family every day sitting around the dining room table reading the Word of God. And she says that when she was a little girl, she would hear that word read. And when she got to the age when she could read it, it was a delight and a privilege. She fell in love with God's word as a little child. See? We're to fall in love with God's word, no matter how old we are, to take it into our heart, saturate our minds, knowing the thoughts of God. Evangelical faith is biblical faith. What is the evangelical tradition? A life founded upon the living word of God, the written word of God, and the proclaimed word of God. Why should we explore it? Because through it we experience the knowledge of God that grounds our lives and enables us to give a reason for the hope that is in us. I want to close with the prayer that Bernard used 3 years ago when he talked about the scriptures, a prayer from the prayer book. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.